Okay, ready? So, counting back from five, someone. Five, four, three, two, one.
What?
It's the Mac Show. It's the Mac Show.
You gotta leave that in.
No,
leave it in.
I'll stick it at the end. I'll stick it at the end.
Ditziest count ever.
It's the Mac Show. Stop coughing. Take 37.
Oh, man.
Yes, we're back, sweltering in the glorious heat that is the British summer. And once again, Ewan has skipped. He's not here. He's off busy beavering away somewhere. We don't know whose beaver he's busy in, but he's not here.
Did that go wrong, Carl? Did that sentence go wrong for you?
Not for
me.
Yeah,
it sure did.
as you can tell, I'm not Ewan. I'm Carl. I'm Carl Madden. So, and joining me this week, we have a quartet of quality, starting out with the giggly Mr. Carl Swagger.
Hello, sir. How are you?
I'm fine, thank you.
I'm not stuck in a beaver. I'm well.
How are things over there in the Philippines?
It's really well, except I'm on 3G tonight, but it seems to be holding up. I'm actually impressed.
Yeah, you could have used this more often.
Maybe I should, yeah. Yeah, I'm actually impressed. No, it's been a good week. The studio is finally redone, and the roof is fixed, and I'm happy camper. Pretty much.
Good. Next to him, we have Mr. Dr. Happy, not Mr. Dr. Happy Mac. How are you, sir?
I'm good. Yes, I am fine. I'm in my shed. I'm podcasting away. I'm not a real doctor, you know.
No. But you know when you turn away from the mic, we can't hear you.
Oh, God.
Don't turn
away from the mic.
Also, over on the fair shores of the United States, we have Miss Kelly Gamont. Or Mrs.
Yeah, whatever. I'll answer either way.
How are you?
I'm full of lols, thanks to you and your beaver.
Oh, dear. Well, we got a show title already anyway.
Yeah, we do.
Rounding out the panel. We have...
It's not just a show title for the show. I think it's a Cartoon Network show in itself, isn't it?
It could be a comic show.
Introduce the last person, please. Rounding out, we have the enigmatic Will Green.
Ooh, that's nice. Never been called enigmatic before.
Well,
that's
never been on a show I've been on before, hosting wise.
I have, haven't I?
No, I've been a guest with you many a time.
Oh, it's nice. It's nice to be on a show with you hosting, Carl. Always a pleasure.
Thank you very much. So, Will, I suppose the first story is going to be right up your alley. How long have you been waiting for Logic Pro X or 10, depending on how you want to say, come along?
I would have thought the first story is we're hammering Australia 96-7 at tea. That's what I think is important.
I don't follow cricket.
Don't you?
Kit. No.
Oh, it's essentially part of the English heritage, isn't it?
I know.
Anyway, Logic 10, I've been waiting a long time for it, and I've read all of the reviews and stuff. It looks and it sounds really exciting. I don't know, the bit that I haven't found out, so I've downloaded the user manual, and I haven't bought it yet, I'll point that out, but downloaded the user manual and got all excited and moist about that.
Where can you get that from, Will?
You go to the apple.com, the support site. And you can download it there for free, and also the instrument manual as well.
Okay.
I love manuals. I like to know my software backwards and forwards. I'm looking forward to... I haven't heard how it works out with sort of the spoken word yet, whether they've enhanced it for that part of it, which is what I use it mainly for. But I my last version of Logic was Logic 8, which doesn't run on Mountain Lion. And I wasn't going to upgrade to Logic 9 because I thought they're going to release Logic 10 any minute. So I'm really excited now. So I'm going to wipe my computer this weekend. I'm going to download Logic 10 and really enjoy it. So there you are. But you've got a virtual drummer in there, which looks exciting, doesn't it?
Yeah. Are you going to use that on your podcast? You've got to have a virtual drum beat in the background?
Well, that's the point. I mean, how useful will it to be to myself? Probably not that useful anymore. It might have used to have been, but not so much. Carl's probably more the man to ask about this. Hold it up.
Carl, have you had a look?
I've had a look at it, yeah. I'm having a look at my credit card, too, so I don't know if I'll be getting it anytime soon. But No, I mean, honestly, though, it is about freaking time that they actually did something with this, because it seems like you get a little bit here and a little bit here and a little bit there, and it's never doesn't feel. Will probably agree with this. It never feels quite finished, so you're always feeling like, should I wait? Should I wait? Should I wait? And finally, maybe this is the time to finally upgrade. And the auto drums do look, personally, from my point of view, probably the coolest thing that they've added to it. Even though I don't know how much I would use them now because I'm not producing music as much anymore. But all in all, I've always loved Logic Pro. Personally, though, I don't use it, but I've always liked using it. If I had to go in and, you know, say to another interface or somebody else's interface, and it's always easy to go in and play with. You can get up and running pretty quick.
I noticed
the iPad remote app. That is quite an interesting addition, isn't it? Sort of leveraging.
Oh yeah,
sort of infrastructure bit. You know, have an iPad extra bit.
That's free, isn't it? That part.
Yeah, I think it is.
So what can you do? You know what you can actually control from the iPad?
The world.
Well, I've used sort of previous incarnations of that sort of, what do you call it? What do you call them? Control interface. There you go. That's the word I was looking for. Mm. I've used previous control interfaces with Logic, and they're okay, but I don't know, does this one connect over Wi-Fi or Bluetooth? Because if it connects over Wi-Fi, I've always found there's quite a bit of latency going on, which didn't make them particularly useful. So I don't know whether, being an Apple product, it might be quicker now. But the previous sort of control interfaces haven't been that good. So I'm thinking slightly gadgety for that part of it. You know, I don't know how useful it will be to people.
As far as control interfaces, the only ones I've ever found that worked really well was Steinberg's app. Control there for Cubase. I found it was actually pretty good, and I believe that's over Wi-Fi if I remember correctly.
So I do wonder. I mean, I suppose the people who did the previous, I've probably tried two or three of these control interfaces, third-party ones, out. But I suppose if Apple are making both the client software and the remote software, maybe they can make it work nicely.
Yeah, they probably know the secret sauce behind the interface, so to speak, so they can get it working smooth, I've got to imagine, especially on a high-end product like this. Andy, so new to podcasting or hosting, does this tempt you from GarageBand?
not for the price, no. Not for my limited needs, I must say. GarageBand seems to do most of the stuff. I mean, it's just, I'm probably the least musical person in the world. I just like... It took me 15 years to master London Bridges Falling Down on the recorder, so I'm feeling that Logic Pro is perhaps a little out of my comfort zone.
They've built it again since then. You do know that, don't you?
Yeah.
It's definitely... It's like,
you know when people say, oh, you're not really tone deaf or you can't... Everyone can sing. It's like, you know, you just need to learn. It's like, no, you haven't met me and my wonderful voice of one's continual tone.
Kelly, do you reckon a purchase of this will be in your near future? Are you any use for it?
I probably not, honestly, just because I don't have enough need for it. I mean, I don't even have a lot of use for GarageBand most of the time, honestly, because even if I'm working on audio of my own, I'm usually doing it in Wiretap or something like that, because I only need really basic cut this bit out sort of controls. I don't necessarily need anything that's super high powered. So I probably won't. But the thing that's interesting to me about it is, once again, we've gotten a little bit of love for a pro app, which hasn't happened lately. So I'm sort of glad for that, for people who have Mac Pros. And the thing that the wave of news that came out after this, or the wave of discussion, I guess, because it wasn't really news, was people saying, well, it's awesome that they've finally updated Logic. What does this mean for Aperture?
Hmm.
So just getting more pro app love. So
Aperture 10.
Yeah, I think what it's exposed the way Apple plans to do future upgrades, like big number upgrades, mm-hmm. not like sectional kinds of ones. So it looks like they're saying from when you jump from like 10 to 11, you're just going to have to buy the app all over again. There's no upgrade path. There's none of that. That's all gone. We're living in a modern age where the App Store is king. Mm-hmm. So you're just going to have to, mind you, the price, $200, I think it's £139. Mm-hmm. That's a reasonable price, because how much did it used to be? Logic used to be about 500 quid.
About five, it was quite expensive. Yeah, it was like $700. I remember one time. It was ridiculous, actually. I mean, it did a lot, but I always thought it was one of those pieces, you know, being a fanboy of Apple, it was always one of those pieces of software, particularly for me. It's like, Apple, that is a bit overpriced. I mean, because there's other stuff out there that does mm-hmm. as much. You know, Pro Tools, I guess, would be your next one up, I guess, that would be, you know, it's also highly priced recording software. But Cubase does it very well. Actually, as far as price point concern, Cubase to me is would still be the way to go. Unlike now, though, I would be more inclined to try it for $200 just because it's cheaper. And not only that, with the remote app now, if there is that whole Apple world of compatibility, then yeah, why not? If everything is virtually compatible with one another, less headaches.
And the other thing I find about the Mac Store is the fact that you could put this like $200 app or $139 onto up to five different Macs if you're lucky enough to own five mm-hmm. different Macs mm-hmm. without and that user license nonsense.
And don't forget that, you know, the point updates that they're, you know, you buy the stuff and then you log on and it says, oh, there are updates for Logic 10, there are updates for Logic 10. So you are getting free updates in between your purchases,
mm-hmm.
Which I think, you know, Logic has in the past has actually made you pay for point updates in between major ones.
No,
not a lot.
It hasn't.
Hasn't it?
No, so it's just big number changes, is it?
Okay. Yeah, no, it's always been. So Logic 7, money-wise, was about 800 quid. Logic 8 was about 500 quid, I think. Logic 9, about 269, 300 quid, something like that. And obviously Logic 10, £129. But for me, I never went to Logic 9, so I've had to. So my production machine in my studio runs Logic 8 with an older version of I can't remember what got on it now, Snow Leopard, I think, and so I've had to run an older version of operating system to keep my old Logic 8 running. So Logic 10 is like it's a no brainer. So I'm going to wipe it down this weekend, put Mountain Lion on there, and the new version of Logic. So it's all good. The only thing I was surprised about is with all the old skeuomorphic thing being taken away, it does seem very pictures of instruments and the old skeuomorphic design is very much in there, isn't it? So I wonder whether, you know, they set out with the user interface, the UI and the UX quite a while ago before them sacking old, whatever his name is, the used car salesman. And and now that they find themselves a little bit out on a limb that it doesn't match the rest of the suite.
I don't know, would Scott Forstall have been responsible for this?
I think there was probably a design ethic that was sort of put across the whole of the company. Because if you look at like OS X and iOS, they both shared the same skeuomorphic design brief, as it were. And I reckon that Logic, so it took, I mean, it's been like 5 years in the development. And I'm fairly sure that they thought, well, you know, let's just get it out. Let's not change the design too much, the old UI and UX. And it does look a bit sort of old iOS to me, a little bit. You know, lots of pictures and that sort of stuff.
Kelly, so how much grief do you reckon Apple are going to get for giving no upgrade channel?
Well, since it's $200, I'm not entirely sure. It's basically the same price as the old one. It's just separate. Now, you can get a refund up to 30 days. So anybody who bought it the day before they released it can go hit report a problem on their receipt and get their money back, and then they can buy the new version. So mechanically, you know, there you go. But I think there's going to be a lot of people who are going to find this bad practice in that there's no upgrade pricing. And because a lot of people are used to that. Like, I bought the last version of Photoshop. So this version of Photoshop, I know that's a bad example, but let's pretend that they didn't go Creative Cloud on us. The new version of Photoshop is cheaper because I own the one before it. And that's how people for many, 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 many years before the App Store were trained to buy things. I bought Office, you know, 2006 or whatever. And so now when the new version comes out, I get it for cheaper because I can enter the proof of purchase from my previous version. And so now I get a break. It's a way to encourage people to upgrade to the new version. Having been through an App Store upgrade, I can tell you the wave of nasty emails and the wave of one-star reviews. You made me pay for a new one. Screw you guys. You're going to see those on Logic's App Store page if you don't see them already. Like, on the one hand, it's nice to see that maybe this is Apple's policy now. And now, and we've gotten a look at it, which is, what's an upgrade? Which, you know, and if that's their policy, that's fine. But you know, everybody's sort of been waiting for something like Logic or Aperture to go to the App Store and update to find out how Apple's going to handle this. And it looks like this is how they're going to handle it. Is it's just a whole new app, and that's the way it goes. The thing that concerns me about it, and it's a minor concern, but as a support person primarily, this is always the thing that I'm looking at, is if there's some system requirement differences between the two, and if somebody needs that old version, like if for some reason there was some compelling need, somebody had to forsake an Apple ID because you still can't merge them, which is a whole other show. Somebody had to get a shiny new Apple ID and put Logic on a new machine, and now the Logic that's available in the App Store won't run on the computer that they have. And I know that's like a weird situation, and that's not going to be a bunch of people, but those are the people that I worry about, is somebody who has a legitimate reason to not be on the current version, and for some reason now they can't get to the one they used to have. So it would be nice if they would leave it there, but I understand they don't want to do it so that people buy the newest one if they need it now and all of that. So
yeah, they really want to encourage people to move forward. Yeah. That's what Apple's all about, isn't it? Move forward, move forward. Don't. They're like sharks.
Like it or not. Yeah.
But at least they've shown the other I mean, because imagine a scenario where they came out with this, and then they created their own upgrade path, which only they could use, and they to all the other developers. Yeah. There would have been a furore of anger and resentment. So it's probably this is the way they've shown. This is the way. If you're going to do a major upgrade, just stick an extra number on the end of your software and charge people again. Mm-hmm. And they can decide if they want to buy it or not, and then just keep pumping up minor point updates for free.
So here's an interesting thing to me, just in sort of monitoring the conversation that I've seen about the new version. People really like it. People who have spent a little time in it have poked around and said, this is great, and that's great, and I love this mixer, and a whole bunch of audio stuff that I absolutely do not understand. But this is the thing that's fascinating to me, is that basically nobody's complaining about $200 for a new version. So I wonder if the outrage, I mean, think about the outrage. For example, like, my day job is with 1Password. And last year when we released 1Password 4 for iOS, it was a brand new app and it was $8 in the App Store. List price, like regular price, is $18. So we released it at $7.99. We put it on Twitter. We put it on Facebook. We put it on our blog. We put it in the newsletter. We tried to tell anybody who would stand still long enough that there was a new version out for iOS. And if you buy it right now, it's more than half off, which is the best we could do for upgrade pricing. For a certain amount of time, you could buy it for $8. And the amount of fury, unfiltered, unmitigated, unnecessary fury about making people buy a new app for $8 was astounding to me. So, like, I really was like, wow, Apple, I can't believe you would do this on a $200 app, but nobody's complaining about it. Maybe it's because for pro audio software, $200 is a reasonable thing, and the people who are that market are not people. with a capital P, like we always talk about. So I wonder if maybe that has something to do with it.
I also think it has something to do with before this version, the previous version, as Will mentioned earlier, I think, was like really expensive, like 500 quid. And the fact that this comes out brand new for only 200 quid, maybe when the next version comes out, there might be much of a much more hoo-ha about it.
At the same $200.
Logic 9 was 15.
Sorry, go on, Will.
I was going to say, Logic 9 wasn't that expensive. Logic 9 was, I think, it was about the 220 mark. Logic 8 before it was, I think it was about 500 quid. But nothing against 1Password, but at the end of the day, it's just a small utility program. I don't want to diss it or nothing like that, but it is. That's what it is. It's a small utility program. Whereas Logic 10 is like pro software. It's like a music recording studio, a piece of software with, a ton of loops, a ton of virtual instruments. I mean, they've got the new B2 Hammond in there going on. Looks fantastic. Yamaha. What were they called? Something 7. What was the old Yamaha synth now? Anyway, it doesn't matter. But they've lots of sort of modeled synths in there. It's just like it's a massive suite of plug-in instruments, virtual modeled instruments, this virtual drummer thing. We've got automation, great mixer. It's got compression. It's got auto-tune. Just a shed load of functionality for 130 quid. I mean, who's going to moan at that?
Well, but I think what it is the class of people. Like, with 1Password, we want everybody to use 1Password. So we get, whenever I talk about muggles, that's who we're talking about, is like everybody. And people, regular, everyday people, your mom or whatever, the standard is for when you talk about regular folks, they were furious. And so it's interesting to me to see that people who are pro audio people, somebody who needs this because they're doing something professionally with audio, those people, I'm not seeing the complaint. The only people I have seen that have an issue with it is like, oh, I bought it yesterday. Oh, I bought it 2 days ago. Like, I bought it so recently, Apple hasn't sent me the receipt yet. And now this new version is out. Well, go get a refund and now you can get a new version and everybody can move on with their lives. And it's just been interesting to me to see that that's not the conversation that people are having about Logic the way they were having it about other things. Now, that doesn't mean that there aren't people driving by and giving it a 1-star review because it was $200. But I think there's a different conversation, and I think it's interesting the market of people and what the conversation ends up being. That's all.
But I think that it's with software like Logic and Creative Suite, Quark Express, all these things that people are actually making a living out of. I mean, and I think that again, not to, I mean, 1Password, which is awesome, and I use it all the time, and it's brilliant, and I love it, and I'm quite happy to pay the upgrade thing because, that pays everyone to make it even better, and that's all good. It just kind of makes my life easier, and it helps me, in that sort of, yes, I don't have to remember stuff anymore, but there are ways around it. Logic Pro, Creative Cloud, all these things, people buy that, and then in a company, for either you're an independent recording engineer or a designer or something, or you've got a studio and you're running a whole load of things, and you're going to look at that £135 or $200 and things, and your first thing is return on investment, and you think, you know what, 3 or 4 days down the line, that's going to have paid for itself, and other than that, you don't care,
right?
Because it's, I mean, there is no return on investment on 1Password or Angry Birds, or that's the, whereas right. with pro software, well, there's always a turnaround. How long am I going to earn my $200 back?
And in the case of Logic, and that was one thing that people taught when who was the first one to do this? Was it NetBot, TweetBot, when they built a new version of TweetBot and released it in the store for $2.99? And the amount of crap that Paul got for that, for having a new app that was a first digit upgrade from version 2 to version 3 or whatever it was, and the amount of grief and the amount of heartache and the amount of vitriol around, I have to pay $3 to get your new app. This is ridiculous. People were ready to take torches and pitchforks to the streets.
Do you want to eat? Do you really want to eat? It's like, don't charge me $3. Just don't shop anymore. Never buy
anything. As time goes by, I think this problem's going to get less and less unless people start taking the mick with it, so to speak. Because I think people, got so used to paying once and then constant update, all free. But there's that point where the software or the maker has to make that leap to the next version. If they totally throw out all the code and rewrite it, and I don't see why they shouldn't get paid again if they've gone through all that hassle. Well, if they want to start charging for point updates, then I've got a problem with that. But whole rewritten code and programs, fine.
I always call it the first digit update to go from 3 to 4 or 8 to 9 or 9 to 10. The first, if the first first digit in the version number changes, I'm used to paying for that. You know, from Photoshop 4 to Photoshop 5, from, I don't remember the version numbers, but from like Microsoft 2008 to Microsoft 2011, or Office, I mean, 2008 to 2011. Like, that's an upgrade that people are sort of used to. I think part of what it is that it's a whole new app is something that maybe people are having a hard time with. I don't know. But it's just been sort of, to me, it's been sort of a relief to hear people, like, not complaining about pricing, not complaining about, you know, some people, like I said, were complaining about logistics, but you see that every time Apple releases something new. Oh, I bought a Mac Pro yesterday, and now they've announced new ones.
Yeah, it's just bad.
Oh, I bought a 27-inch monitor yesterday, and the new one is Thunderbolt. You know, you see that a lot. So, yeah, didn't we finally convince him to buy a Mac Pro so they'd announce a new one? Wasn't that how it worked?
Yeah, so finally, yeah.
I think, to me, it's sort of a relief, and I really hope that this is Apple's policy, stated or what am I trying to say, implied or implicit. It looks like this is the way of the future, and I hope that they continue that, and I hope that this bodes well for other developers, because I think now we sort of know what the model is that Apple's going to follow for pro software.
Absolutely. Do you want to say, Will?
I was going to say, the trouble with 1Password, if you forget your 1Password, that's that, isn't it? That's the end of it, really, isn't it?
I've got a hint. What you need to use is you just use the word password for your secure password, and then it's all good after that.
Oh, dear.
And what I've done, because I'm an idiot, is I've stuck it on the side of the computer. There's a post-it note that says 1Password password equals password.
That's a...
And it's funny because it's true.
I think there's new software called 2Passwords. It's going to be twice as good as 1Password. So if you get the 1Password, you've got another password. Fantastic.
Oh, well, something else that got an upgrade this week is Google Maps for iOS. It's now a lot more slicker. It fills the entire screen, and there is an iPad version now.
Oh, now that's fine.
Yeah, has anyone tried this out?
Yeah, I've tried it out. Good old Google Maps. You got to love the Google Maps. Apple Maps suck still, kind of. You know, they got better.
They're getting better.
It's like Google Maps. Google Maps for when you really absolutely have to get where you're going.
Exactly. Not just vaguely.
And your destination is not the middle of the river. I'm really curious, Kyle, what your experience is with it, because you are not in America.
Oh, no, it's been absolutely great over here. It beats the living crap out of Apple Maps over here. I mean, Apple Maps, I'll be driving into buildings and off bridges over here. So it's been really, really good, and it's finally nice to actually have it on the iPad, because what's great about the Google Maps is that it's more detailed. And I want to see that on a bigger screen. So I've been waiting for it, and yeah, it's flawless over here. I've had no problems whatsoever. I guess there's always those occasions where it doesn't know that a street is a one way street or something as such. But other than that, I haven't had any problems. It's been great.
There's ways you can report that, isn't there? If there's errors, I think there's a Google page where you can go and report that there's an error.
Oh, is there? Well, then I need to send about 280 of them. That'll be good.
They've got one for Apple as well, but you'd be waiting in a queue for about 2 million other people. So
Australia, 104 for 8 now.
Is there still in the creek? So we're not. Are we going to win? We're not going to win, are we?
Of course we are.
Are you? Are we? You sure?
Well, I'm not going to go into this with you, right?
Because there
are 104 for 8, and the follow-on target is 162. We're thrashing their ass. They're begging for forgiveness now. I reckon Australia and America should come back to the mothership, because we look after them far better than they look after themselves. What do you think?
Well, what do you reckon, Kelly? Kyle?
I don't know. We're looking after ourselves and you guys now.
Ooh.
Oh,
dear heart, eh?
Kyle stayed very quiet there.
Oh, hell yeah, I am.
No, I mean, but the Google Maps is good because the new one gives you cards of local stuff around you, and you can see traffic patterns, well, not traffic patterns, traffic jams as they build up around you. And also, it's meant to, I haven't noticed it that much yet, but it's meant to route you around traffic. If you put in a destination, just like Waze, it'll route you around the traffic. Now, since I've been using it, I've not caught any traffic, and I don't know if that's just me being fortunate with the traffic or it doing its job.
Another wicket, 104 for nine.
Well, I don't go anywhere, so I haven't really had much chance to use it, and I don't go very far when I do go someplace most of the time, so I don't have to worry about traffic generally not having any idea where I'm going, because for the most part, I'm headed someplace where I know where I'm headed, and so usually what I will do is I will use maps as confirmation of information. I think the fastest way to get there is this. Am I right? Yeah. Okay. So I usually don't even use the turn by turn because I end up just going, oh, if I go down here and take 84 to 39th and then I'm done. Then that's usually what I end up doing is, oh, the way I thought was the fastest way isn't the fastest way. It's the other way I would go. So here you go.
You were talking about streets right there, Kelly, and not cricket scores, correct? If we had video now, this would be priceless. Please, somebody the thing take a screenshot.
Oh, look, Kelly's gone a minute. Oh, lost connection there.
Yeah.
And the thing I use, like to use Google Maps for, if I'm somewhere new, like in London, or walking around, I like to find out where the closest pubs are, and it's perfect for that.
In Google Calendar.
Yep.
If you go to the bottom where it says, you click on where it says calendars at the bottom, and then it says interesting calendars, you can subscribe to a sports calendar, and that includes international cricket, and then you select England, and you can see live score updates as you're at your desk without opening the BBC or anything. It's really cool.
Is that your cool thingy, Will?
I think he probably it's really good, and he does baseball and all of those American sort of games.
Those American games, yeah.
Those mystical things.
He does all of those, but if you right, okay. So, Carl, I mean, do you know cricket? Do you understand how it works?
I've got no clue. Cricket. They just seem to me to bash the ball up and down, get scores for hitting the ball in certain areas. And then after 6 days or whatever, it's a tie.
Oh, well, I don't know, this is going to be a tie.
You managed to get absolutely... You managed to get not a single fact correct in that entire sentence.
Fantastic. but this is why I don't watch cricket. I can't even say the word. I mean, come on.
You got Jonathan Ross R, haven't you? Say cricket.
Maybe.
Say cricket, come on.
I can't when I'm smiling. Cricket.
Oh, yeah?
Shut up.
What?
Cricket. That's very posh of you, Carl. Cricket.
Yes. I'm trying to get Kelly back here. Right, hang on. Give a sec. Okay, now, malware. Apparently some more ransomware actually has been found on Macs.
It's because you've upset her. That's what it is.
No, it's not.
Yes, you have. You've upset her by slagging off that old 1Password thing.
That was... What?
You were dissing her 1Password job, and now she's had enough of you.
I would never... Dish 1Password.
You have? You upset her?
Password. Stop it. God, I should have known. It's worse, terrible being a guest with you, and I'm bleeding hosting now. You're just getting your revenge for the bash, aren't you? That's what it is.
Skype just upped and quit, that's all.
Oh, no, he does that all the time.
He upset you. That's what he's terrible.
There you
go. Carl, stop telling young ladies.
Ransomware.
Well, he's going to have to try really hard to upset me.
There you go. Ransomware on the Mac. Apparently, certain users have been hit by fake FBI notices asking them to pay up a certain amount of money before they can carry on using their Mac. Now, unlike the PCs, where this was a real threat, apparently all you have to do is, this is just a window that pops up with loads of iframes in, and as you click it to close 150 times, it goes away. Or you can just reset Safari, and it also goes away.
Also, you didn't read out our review, did you, Carl? You went straight into the news, and you didn't do the review.
Shenanigans.
Oh, no, I was going to review at the end.
Yeah. That was why. As you can probably tell, ladies and gentlemen, there is no news this week. There is no news this week.
There is very little.
The interesting thing to me about the ransomware is that it's Mac specific. So, you know, it's one of those things where good news and bad news, there are now enough Macs in the world for somebody to decide that this sort of thing is worth their time to do.
Well, the thing that worries me, as more, if as Macs continue to grow, mm-hmm. these naughty people will start to turn their attention to Macs. And
right.
God, if they find an exploit.
Then we just go to Linux Mint.
No, because a lot of Mac users believe they're safe, don't they? That's the whole point of buying a Mac, is no antivirus. You don't need to worry about antivirus.
You know, I love that theory. Oh, I bought a Mac because I was so scared of my Windows machine. No, I didn't. I bought a Mac because Windows sucks. I mean, I didn't buy it because to feel safer and more secure. I bought it because, well, first and foremost, it's the coolest computer to have. And then secondly, because I got fed up with Windows. That's why I switched to Mac. Now, if we start getting malware and all that on there, then I guess Apple will take care of us with a program that we'll have to spend £199 on.
29.
To stay safe.
29, like the OS.
And you get one update a year.
It does scare, because my former job, we used to remove like malware from people who bring their PCs into the shop, and every day it was always the same story. Where have you been anywhere? Have you been anywhere naughty? Have you opened any dodgy emails? No, nothing like that. Sure enough, as soon as you look at their history. Anyway.
Yep. Porn.
Yep. All the usual suspects.
Porn.
But anyway, so if anyone does run into this, don't worry about it. Just close down Safari and what is it? Open it again with Shift press down.
Launch with
it will
Shift.
Go away.
Yeah.
Oh well, let's get on to some rumors, shall we?
Do we have
there's
to?
There's nothing but rumors, but there's some of them are fun.
Okay.
Actually, no,
before we go to rumors, I just want to say one other thing that was a tiny bit of news this week. Is that Mac news and rumor site, MacGasm.net, is no longer doing rumors. They've decided, not so much. We don't want to cover it anymore. It's too much hassle and nobody wants to read them. Like, Mac rumors, those guys are awesome. That's what they do. It's right in the name. But we're not going to do that. And it's sort of a relief because it's one more site where I'm not going to see somebody's blurry cam picture of the iPhone 6.
That's true.
So I think that's really great, and I'm really excited to see that that's a direction that someone else has taken. So Joshua Schnell, yay! We're very pleased for you. Thank you very much. That's all.
What was the URL again?
MacGasm.net.
MacGasm. So what are they going to do now? Apple porn?
News. Just news. They're going to be news and reviews and cool stuff, and this is what I think kind of site like... Like Two Eyes, we generally don't cover rumors either. So,
that's good. So one less rumor site, that's a good thing. So on to the rumors.
Yeah.
Now, Apple's apparently worked out how to sell TV to the executives, TV people. And apparently they're suggesting a pay for ad skipping model. Now, the way I understand this is anyone that wants to put their channel onto the Apple TV can set up a price to skip the adverts, because at the moment apparently what people are doing are copying the shows with their DVRs and just skipping the adverts, and the companies are getting no money whatsoever for that.
I was going to say, I've paid for an ad skipping service. It's called TiVo.
There you go. Yes, but they don't get the money back, the people who have lost the money in the advertising. Now, do you think this is a viable option? Do you think? Because
it's already there
to me.
I think it's already there. It's called the iTunes Store. It's called a season pass to your favorite TV shows with no commercials.
This is an existing model, and they must be making money at it, or they'd stop offering shows that way, don't you think?
Yeah, yeah. I mean, I'm paying $35 for a season. There better not be any ads in it, you know, or six. Sometimes even $50 for a season. I can remember paying $49 for a season of House. You know, that's how much I love that show, and I miss it. And it's
okay,
I gladly pay. Hugh Laurie, please come back, you bastard. And
there's lots of Hugh Laurie on Netflix. It'll be okay.
Yeah, I know. No, it's. I think it's there. I think to me, this belongs in the rumor bin because they already have it.
Yeah.
See, the thing that winds me up about iTunes is the shows are still too expensive. Not initially, maybe, when they come out. I understand they can get away with that. But if you go in and look, like, if you go in on, at least in the British store, I think, X-Files Season 1, they still want, like, £20-odd pound for it. And yet you can go out and buy it on DVD for under a fiver. It makes no sense to me how much they're still charging for this content.
I agree. Handbrake. Sorry. Handbrake.
Naughty.
Well, I bloody bought it.
Yeah, but you don't own it. You only own the media, not the content.
I know. I don't own the content. That's fine. I bought the content. Oh, I put the content on the hard drive that I bought, and I put it on my home server, which I bought, which the, through the TV, which I bought, so they can piss off.
Oh, dear. Will, would you pay for a skip-in ad service on your Apple TV?
But there aren't any ads on the Apple TV.
Not yet, but that's what this is suggesting. For example, say there was put an ITV channel for us, obviously. You'd be able to skip all the adverts on the various shows that are broadcast on the ITV. On ITV.
Yeah, but there isn't any ads on the Apple TV.
No, but I'm saying if ITV, the channel, came to Apple TV,
right,
all the shows on ITV came to the Apple TV, you'd be able to just skip the adverts. If it was a streaming service.
Right. So like the one they do already?
What one's that?
The ad-free.
Watch Again thing. Whatever it's called. You know that, the ITV catch-up.
Oh, yeah, but that's Virgin that does that.
No.
Virgin Media and Sky.
Yeah, you can get that online.
Oh, you're talking... Oh, you mean catch-up TV?
Yeah.
Yes, but that's not... So you can't skip the adverts on that. It plus streams the entire... channel, and you know they're in maybe a bit of bother in the future, but from a story I read a little while back. But no, I mean, so imagine all the shows on ITV, you'd have them, but it'd be ad free. See, this is what I mean. This is why I don't understand the model that they're suggesting.
You're talking rubbish here. What are you talking about? I don't get it. You can watch ITV if you want to, and you have some adverts because that's how they make their money.
Yep.
You can watch,
or
it.
You can pay Apple and skip the adverts.
Through your Apple
but
TV.
Still stream the channel.
But why are you going to pay Apple?
No, you do pay it through Apple.
Yeah, but you see Downtown Abbey, and you buy Downtown Abbey off the Apple TV, and it hasn't got any adverts on.
That's not what we're talking about. You know how, okay, this is only in the US, but suppose you could watch cricket on your Apple TV. There's like some cricket at-bat channel. Like we have
You don't get adverts on the cricket, BBC. You get the weather forecast.
Are you trying not to understand me, Will?
No, he's
okay.
Yeah.
So, if there's a channel that you get regularly on TV that has commercials, if you could stream that exact same channel through the Apple TV, but then there was an in-app purchase and you could pay X pounds, and now there's no more ads on it anymore through your Apple TV.
Yeah. Anyway, the cricket's only on BBC Radio 198 Longwave. And you don't get any advice on that.
This will not be of interest to Will.
No.
Sorry, I'm only having
I'll tell you one reason why it won't work. Hulu. Because Hulu at $7.99 a month, $7.99 a month, right?
Yep.
And I still have ads. It's why I stopped Hulu. People probably wonder how much
Hulu will get you Netflix with zero adverts.
Exactly, and I know that the content isn't as new, but there's a lot of content on there, and there's movies on there, and there's everything else, and that's why it won't work. I mean, Hulu is the perfect example of people saying, "Yeah, I'll pay for a premium service." Oh, lovely. You still give me ads, you bastards.
The problem is you can't do anything about it. Like, you get exactly
can't
the
skip
same.
Skip it or anything.
Well, and you get the same experience whether you pay or not. You just have more stuff available to you if you pay for Hulu. Like, I have a free Hulu account, and I can watch a lot of stuff on Hulu that way, and I get commercials. And because I know that if I pay for Hulu, I still get commercials, I don't pay for Hulu. I pay for Netflix.
Hmm. Well, we don't get Hulu. So,
do you get Hula Dances?
We're not supposed
to... Hula Dances? Well, yeah, you might in Philippines there.
Well, that's what I thought. I reckon Kyle's got loads of them.
Oh, yes, yes, yes. Oh, people are probably wondering how I am watching Hulu in the Philippines, and that's another show.
Right, next rumor. iPhone 5S fingerprint scanner may be embedded into the display. So the rumor is that you'll just put your thumb or one other finger onto the display. It'll scan it like James Bond style and unlock all your features.
Oh, so does see, this mean... This is why the rumors thing is just the rumors thing, because you've just come along and you said, here, this is the rumor story. The iPhone 5S is going to have the fingerprint scanner built into the display, and then you click on the thing, and then next to it there's a link to another rumor that says the iPhone 5S is going to have the fingerprint thing built into the home button, and it's like, well,
I know,
one or the other.
Well, that'd be cool, actually.
They can't make up their mind. So the 3GS was supposedly, the S was for speed, and the 4S it was apparently for Siri. So is the S in the 5 going to be for security?
Shit. No shit.
Scanning magic.
Scanner.
It's going to be
your five.
S is for shiny.
Shiny. Scanner.
Sucker.
It's just. I do not think they're going to put a fingerprint scanner in the iPhone. I just do not see that. No, I can see that going wrong so often.
It goes wrong on computers.
Yeah.
I could see it because this is what Apple does all the time. They take somebody else's app that's already in the store and say, "Hey, look what we did."
My screen's got enough fingerprints off on it already. I don't want a big thumbprint in the middle every time I try and use it. Oh, I don't know. What's wrong with a button? Really?
Did you know there's a .sex extension?
In what way? What way do you mean that by?
.sex extension. Left field, ladies and gentlemen.
What are you extending?
Oh, God. No, don't ask Will that.
I came across it today. I can't remember why, but there's...
can't remember why?
I can't remember why,
but I got a virus on my machine now.
You've been conjecture about it for a while.
Yeah, no, there is. It's a .sex file. And it is a genuine, legitimate, non-sex-style file. It is a .sex file, which is jolly, isn't it? That's what you
Will,
want.
Will, stop messing with your cricket bat.
I'm being serious.
Stop investigating your extensions.
There is a .sex file type. I can't remember why I came across it.
Did you guys meet him look up beavers earlier?
Don't go back to beavers.
I used to.
Sorry, go on, Will.
I was going to say, I used to have a watch. I probably told the story before, because it's always made me laugh. It was a diver watch, you know, the one where you go under for a while. And the company, the manufacturer, it was called Beaver. So it was a Beaver diver watch. And so you could set, you know, how long you've been down there and stuff, and it was all good. And that's a genuine true story. Look it up on the internet. Beaver Diver Watch.
Oh, my.
What?
Last one's for you, Kyle. Apple reportedly talking to LG about 55 to 65-inch Ultra HD TV panels. Are you finally going to get your HD, your Apple TV?
Oh, yeah, we will eventually, not this year. I've already heard enough things that says that they're not doing it this year because the market just isn't viable for it right now. It's 55 to 65 inches. I mean, that's what that's going to be with an Apple sticker on it, a $5,000 TV. I ain't going to buy a $5,000 TV right now, but
so,
they'll
Kyle,
come
though,
eventually.
Explain to me what makes it a good idea. When will the market take it? Because particularly now that Apple's kind of in this every couple, 3 years upgrade model, like people don't upgrade TVs every 2 years or 3 years. So what's going to be the hook that's going to make this a good idea?
When people are able to set up a box, they realize they don't need cable, they don't need this, they don't need that. They set the TV in the living room, you plug it in, it's ready to go.
But that means it's all going to be all the licensing issues, which are always going to be Achilles' heel.
I think it will be the Achilles heel for a while, just like iTunes was. Remember how many people were sitting through iTunes going, "No, NBC, well, I'm going to pull my crap out of there. This is ball crap." And they came back. You know, CBS did it for a little while. They said, "No, we're not going to go on." But then they realized, we don't have a choice, do we? And I think that's what a lot of these media companies eventually it's going to come along to. I think most of them already have.
Okay, but what does Apple get out of it?
People are going.
This is my thing is, how does Apple make money on something with a way longer upgrade cycle than even a Mac Pro?
Well,
and a barrier to entry of like $5,000-$6,000. Because iPod, 99 quid now.
Yeah, if it's $5,000 or $6,000, then there's just no way. I mean, how I would answer that, Kelly, is how does LG make? How do they make their money every year by putting
washing
out TVs?
Machines?
True, that's true. Well, Apple makes it through the computers. Then you know they'll make it through the iPods or the iPhones.
Don't Apple make it through the content? I mean, the Apple TV is a great device, and everyone that's got an Apple TV loves their Apple TV, and everyone that's got one tells their friends, oh, you need to get an Apple TV. But, you know, most people don't have one. But if most people have got an Apple TV, then the amount of content that they're going to be consuming is going to exponentially increase.
Mm-hmm. And I think it's right there.
Yeah, and I think that that gives Apple the edge in terms of revenue. I mean, I know that, you know, it's not the same as a £3,500 Mac Pro or a MacBook Pro or whatever, but it's a shed load of people. It's a really large number of people.
That's the thing that I've been trying to figure out is, like, I've sort of been poo-pooing the TV rumors only for this reason, which is Apple has sort of trained people with OS releases and everything else, like we were talking about earlier, sharks. The way forward is the way forward. So if they're aging out their computers every 3-4 years and they're aging out their phones every 2-3, and those are the two biggest things they make is phones and computers, then where does something that people upgrade every 10 years become something that they want to do? This is why my television rumor has always been that they're not going to get into the television business. They're going to get into cahoots with somebody who's in the television business. And the next time you go look at a Panasonic television, it's going to have a little place in the back to put the black box. And then you're going to be able to control the whole thing with the standard Panasonic remote. Like, my current Panasonic remote has a Netflix button. This one's going to have an iTunes button. That's my big idea, because that way Apple still makes all the money, but you know, they're still selling the little black boxes. I did see this week that half of all streaming boxes sold are Apple TVs, which is pretty good for a hobby.
Yeah, I did see that. Yeah, I did see that too. I think that at the end of the day, though, Apple's a hardware company, and they want to control the whole experience. That is Apple. So that's why I feel that they'll be wanting to definitely do the TV thing. Yeah, I don't know about every 10 years. I think we're in a different market now when it comes to TVs. I personally am upgrading a TV, I don't know, probably every 3 to 4 years. And I know a lot of people that upgrade every 3 to 4 years. They want, you know, and the thing about HD TVs are getting cheaper. Yeah, 3D, they're getting cheaper. Before you know it, we're going to have 4K. It's going to be time to go this and that. And if there's anything that we've learned, is that all of our gadgets are becoming consumable. Seems like every year it's something new. We want it. We feel we need to upgrade. That's the public's mindset now. Be it wrong or right, that's just how we are now. Yeah.
See, I think they're just going to stick with a little black box. Keep upgrading that. Hopefully, get more and more content on there. Patch up with these various TV executives, and have more and more content. But I really think they would make much more money if they just lowered the prices of the older content to what it basically is in bargain bins.
I wouldn't think twice about buying seasons on iTunes if they were less expensive. Because like you guys were saying, you know, how long has it been since X-Men Season 1 was on television? And now it's still that same amount of money as it would be if I was buying a season of a show that's on right now. Like, if I bought a season of Breaking Bad, it's going to be the same price as X-Men Season 1, and that just seems crazy to me.
Although we say that, and then something like Netflix is there for $8 a month, and I'll just stream the whole damn season. You know, it's just...
But I've gotten
to
where I buy stuff because rights go away. Because we know Netflix... Yeah, because like a
true.
Bunch of stuff
point,
fell off
point,
of Netflix recently.
Yeah,
so something
that's
like,
a good point.
Something that's near and dear to my heart, I will go and purchase in some fashion. I know I don't own it, but I will go buy it so that I have it to watch on whatever I'd like. Because who knows when it's all going to fall off of Netflix. It's my biggest fear that the hundreds of things in my queue, because I'm a person who adds to the queue constantly, like at some point I'm going to end up with 8 things in the queue. And it's just going to be the stuff that I put on there because I thought I might sort of like it and not the stuff I really like watching.
We'll see. I doubt they'll ever change because it's not in their hands, unfortunately. It's all down to the license owners. But we'll see. This show and every other show on the network is brought to you courtesy of UK2.net. They really do supply all the services that keep us going every single week.
I bet they don't.
And if you, I bet they do.
I bet it's all GoDaddy or something like that, really. Isn't it?
Oh, no. You want to stay away from those. But no, UK2.net, they're wonderful people. And if you want to show your appreciation for us, to share them, show them a bit of appreciation as well by popping along to our site at britishtechnetwork.com, hit the UK2.net link, and it'll take you straight to their site, and you'll see all the fabulous services they have on offer at fantastic prices. And if you want to save even more money, then just head back to our site, hit the sponsors link, and it will give you the codes to get off various discounts on all, again, all the services that they offer, including domain registration and VPNs. VPNs in this NSA world, shall we say. So keep yourself secret. Also this week, I've been asked to, Mark Carter, a friend of the network, has a festival going on, the Campbell Park Summer Festival in Milton Keynes, from the 19th to the 21st of July. So it's on this weekend. So I don't know when Ewan's going to post this show, but it's on
this weekend. What's it called?
The Campbell Park Summer Festival.
Oh, I thought you said cannibal.
It is a free event.
Cannibal Park is a sad place.
It's a free event. It's for all the family from 1 to 100 years old. So friends, family, must just come along and enjoy some local and national talent across many genres of music, food, drink, friends and music. What better way to spend your weekend in the sun? If you want further details, go to www.mksummerfest.co.uk. Do we still say www?
Jason, I think we assume back. We assume that.
Friday the 13th, Cannibal Park, Park 99.
Stop scaring people. Right, let's do some cool things. Will, have you got a cool thing?
Are you going to read the review?
Yes, I'm going to read a review.
Oh, okay.
Is it bigging you up? Is this review bigging you up in some way? Is that why you're so keen to? Why is he so keen to have this review read out?
Okay, I'll do the review now. This is from Mounty38. He gives us 5 stars, and the headline is Top Banana. Best show on the ever-increasing gamut tech network. Shame he's not here today, poor Jeff. An absolute must listen to each week, ably hosted by Ewan Rankin. Well, not at the moment.
He's in Egypt.
The great team, including Kelly G, Don Mick, and even Will Green, when he can be bothered. Charming. Keep up the good work, and I'll even try to make it to the bash next year.
Yay!
There you go. I've done the review now, out of order, but...
Yeah. I thought we were really going to big up Kyle or something. I'm going to do a review of All About Kyle. All nice things. Not now. I'm going to post it, obviously. It'll be anon, obviously.
To Kyle?
Yeah.
He's a lovely man in the Philippines.
I'm going to. Thank you. I'm going to do that.
Appreciate it.
Should we all do reviews about each other, saying all really, really nice things, or really slag off each other? That'd be even more fun, wouldn't it?
We do that when we stop recording.
I listen to the British Tech Network, and that green fellow's an idiot. I wouldn't bother listening anymore. That type of thing. That'd be fun, wouldn't it?
No one knows when we stop recording, the show goes out. We all just sort of sit there looking at each other going, ugh, that's done.
Oh, for Pete's sake.
Is it like...
Come on, Will.
It's like some mad Hollywood thing where everyone just goes their separate ways. We never speak to each other in between anything.
So next Friday, you bastards.
It's like the Beatles when they recorded their album.
Yeah. Is there a rotor? Ewan's got a rotor, hasn't he? Will was on line one last week, so it's now Kelly's turn to be on line one, and Will has to be on line five, and then...
Oh, dear. Will, have you got a pick, sir?
At the recent bash, we all met, and we didn't say a word to each other, did we?
I didn't even recognise you.
Didn't recognise you. You weren't in a little screen.
You kept kicking me in the shins all the time, I know. Spiking my drink. Tripping me over. That sort of stuff.
I'm surprised kicking your car made it home.
Just because you won the bouncy space hopper race.
I won
race
the bouncy space hopper race.
Did you notice?
Oh, disagreement.
If you look at the video... I was winning, and like a proper Englishman, I stopped and let you lot catch up, and that is actually on the video.
Yes, it is.
So go on then.
You just rubbed it in even more, didn't you, there?
I thought it looked like you had a cramp, Will.
Well, I'm getting on a bit, aren't I? Yeah. You know what I mean?
Will, have you got a pick?
I have, and it's called It's called Divvy. D-I-V-V-Y. So if you've got like a small monitor or even a big monitor or whatever, and you're forever resizing windows for different applications, and you either want to save, like imagine you've got like, you've got your browser in one window and you've got mail in another and iTunes in another or something like that, or a word processor pages in another, and you want to save that window setup, with Divi you can do. Also, if you want to quickly, but basically all you do is click the application and then a little pop-up appears and it says, you know, how do you want, which part of the window do you want to put this in? And you just graphically draw it out and bang it goes. So you don't have to manually sort of grab the edges and pull them in and mess around like that. So Divi, D-I-V-V-Y. It's very good.
Good, good, good. Is it, do you know how much?
No idea. No, they sent me a copy. They said, if you send me a copy and give it a nice review, we'll give you some used onces and a free ticket to Lords. Bag. Yeah.
Nice.
Yeah, so no, I've no idea what it costs, but totally bought. That review was totally bought.
It's for $13.99 in the Mac App Store.
There you go.
Is it?
That's
US.
Is that dollars? Is that dollars, yeah. So it's probably about $8.99.
It's really, genuinely, it is really good. Yeah. And they didn't give me a ticket to Lords. But if they want to, they're very welcome. It'd be rather jolly.
You'd be open to offers, would you?
To be honest, that's it. I don't really give a monkeys, really. I will sell. I'll sell out totally. You know, just give us some money, and I'll quite happily endorse your products. No problems at all. Yeah.
There you go.
Even if countries with deplorable human rights, that's fine. You know, any Chinese products, throw them my way. No worries.
For God's sake, Kyle, save us.
Kyle. Pick it quick.
I don't. Yeah, pick it quick. I was going to pick a Twitter account because I just didn't have a pick, but then I actually had seen some news. It's really great to see.
Yes.
VLC is back.
Twitter account.
I was going to.
It was a good one. It was a good one. It was a naughty one, but.
It was a naughty one. Yeah. So to save power. VLC is back. We all love VLC. And it is back at it's back in the iOS store. From what I've seen, it's popped up in Australia already. So Peter, that's our regular listener, could download that now. And I think it's popping up in the US here pretty soon, and it should be live in the UK here in a few hours. So if you're a fan of VLC and you've got an iPad, an iPhone, whatever it is, get it back on there because that app rocked. And it's free. What I can see, it's free still.
It is free.
And you don't have to convert your hopefully. Don't have to convert your audio or video streams to just play most of them, doesn't it?
There is some limitations. But yeah, there's some limitations because it is in the Apple domain, but it's still pretty cool. So yeah, that's going back on.
Kelly,
can I interrupt for a second?
Yes.
Sorry, interrupt. Is Pete listening? Do you know?
No one's listening. We're recording this.
No one's listening to this.
Yeah. Well, I'll be able to listen to it later. Australia, 128 all out. Anyway, there it is. 128 all out. What a thrashing. She thrashed with an inch of the light.
Go on, Kelly.
Okay, so my pick this week is an app called Glimpse. And it's
We love Glimpse.
GLY. MPSE. And the thing that I like about it is that, so it's a location app and it's sort of a find my friends kind of a thing. Like you can send somebody your location and they can view you on a map and watch you, whatever, if you're headed someplace. So, it's really, there's two things about it that I think are great. Number one, you have to have the app to send a glimpse to somebody, but you don't have to have an app to receive it. So I could send a glimpse to anybody via text message or via email, and then they can track it on the site. Mm-hmm. Which I think is awesome because there's a lot of apps, like I know WhatsApp is one that's really popular, but if I don't have it installed and you send me a WhatsApp message, I'll never see it. So this is nice because you can send a text message or an email. When we took a road trip in June, I was able to send my mom so she could see where we were, and she liked checking in and loading up the map and seeing where we were on our trip to LA and back. So that's the first thing I like about it, is the recipient doesn't have to have the app in order to be able to check everything out. And the second thing I like about it is that you can set up prefab locations, like a little template. So I have one for my house, and it automatically sends to Mr. Kelly. And I can take that, and in like two, maybe three taps, I can send him a message that says, that shows him where I am and that I'm on my way home. And it's super quick and super easy, so he can tell, like, when I'm coming home, how close I am, you know, if he needs to, like, clean up after the party or whatever, because I wasn't here. So,
she's coming!
Yeah. Oh, crap! So, those are the two things I like the best about it. It's free and super useful. If you are using it, like, any sort of continually updating location app, it will expend more battery than maybe what you're used to. So, particularly on our trip to California, I just made sure we were plugged in all the time, because we were in the car like the whole time, so it was pretty easy. But you may just want to be aware of that. It's the disclaimer that comes with everything that uses, continually updates your location all the time. But that's my pick this week, and it's free in the App Store.
Excellent, excellent. Andrew?
Yes, I also was a bit struggling for a pick, to be honest, with stuff. But I did make an idle comment earlier in the week, which I thought kind of deserved a pick, and I've... since we've been doing the comic podcast and we've been involved with the communities that you, Carl, have been very kindly setting up, I really, you know, everyone gives Google a bad rep, and G Plus, the circles, what the hell, but it really does in some ways seem to be pulling itself together in quite an interesting way. And I think perhaps the bit that's driving it is the communities, not the circles and not the rest of it. And it's a really interesting alternative to Twitter in a way of sharing, and I really, really like the backwards and forwards, and the ability to share more different types of media, and the ability to monitor discussions, you know, through different threads at the same time. They don't get a lot right, Google. I mean, and they throw a lot of stuff out with the bathwater, but I think with communities, I think they've got something really right, and I would encourage everybody to, like, jump on, you know, have a look at the communities that Carl's put up, but look at the other communities, look at your app developer communities, app, you know. I think in some ways there's a lot more to be had from that than there is Twitter as this kind of big broadcast medium. It's great, and they've got all of the PR and the what would you call it, the momentum in society and social networking, but the Google Plus, G Plus communities, I think there's a lot to be had there, and I would encourage everyone to sign up and have a look.
Yeah, it does, because it encourages conversation, because if you tweet something and people are not around to see that tweet, it's gone forever.
Absolutely.
As far as I'm concerned.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
But you can share so easily on Google Plus, it's fantastic. But and I totally don't use... Is it?
Yeah. I mean, if you get... if you're in business and you want to sort of bring sort of secure a social network in within your business domain, and communities is great because it's all part of Google Apps business.
Yeah, and it's also very easy if you want to set up your own Google community. It's very easy as well. It's just a few clicks, set it up, send invites, and you've got a community. Very good. My pick is Minion Rush, which is basically Temple Run, but with a minion from Despicable Me movies. And it's pretty much the same. He runs along, jumping over things, ducking under things, swinging on things, and it's just a good fun. It's a bit naggy because it always wants you to post your score onto Facebook or Twitter at the end, but just ignore that bit. and it's totally free as well, and it's just a good little fun game to play with. Well, thanks for being with me on the show. I don't think I'm here next week. I think I'm away somewhere, so hopefully Ewan will be back. So until then, where can we get a hold of you, Kyle?
You can find me on Twitter, since we love that place so much still, at Kyle Swagger, Swagger with 1G. Find me on Google Plus, too. I've been trying to come back there a little bit here and there, so I'm on Google Plus as well. You can add me there. And, of course, KyleSwagger.com.
Okay, good. Kelly?
You can find me on Twitter and app.net as Verso. And you can also find me on the unofficial Apple Weblogs Talkcast at tuaw.com, and you can also find me regularly on Angry Mac Bastards saying all kinds of words I don't say here.
Potty mouth. Potty mouth on that show.
A little bit, yeah.
Did Kelly freeze? Because she looks really moody.
Yeah, she's been moody for the last half an hour.
Oh no!
If you could only see yourself, Kelly. You really, you just found out that something's not right.
Andrew, where can we get hold of you?
Well, you can get hold of me on Google Plus, Dr. Happy Mac, on Twitter and app.net as well. You know, Google make money. They do make, you know, the company makes money. Twitter don't make money. I've got this horrible feeling that in 5 years' time, people involved with Twitter are going to wish that they took the big money offers that were around a year or so ago. I really do. But anyway, Dr. Happy Mac, that's me. Just type it into Google. Bob's your uncle.
Indeed. And lastly, Will.
BritishMac.com.
Any sign of a new show?
Oh, I sort of felt... Well, I'm hoping
you're going to have Logic 9, aren't you? So, Logic 10.
Well, I'm going to sort my studio machine out, put the new version of Logic on it. Because I don't. It sounds all a bit, you know, tossed up and stuff. And I don't mean it to, but if you've got a production machine, you don't mess with it if that's what makes your living. And I don't mess with it very often. But now Logic 10 has come out, I'm going to mess with it and upgrade it from the old version to the new version. And my only thing is whether it'll still interface with my mixer. That's the question. But we'll find out. I'll see how the drivers work out. But they should be okay.
Oh, dear. My name's Cole. My name's Cole. You can get hold of me on Twitter at Glaw0101 or in the Google communities or sometimes on the Here and There show whenever we decide to do a show, which is very lately, thanks to commitments. But I am working on the next pantomime for Christmas show. Ooh. And we'll see how that goes.
It's only June. Christ, what is this thing?
I have to write it, get people to record it. Remember, when did you give me your recorded voice last year, Will?
Ages
what day
ago.
Was it?
August, I think.
Was it on Christmas Eve you gave me yours?
I would like to say. I thought it was August, if my memory serves.
Yeah, well, your memory doesn't. But no, that'll be out around Christmas time, hopefully, with lots of people you'll recognise.
It's because you asked me to do an American accent. I can't do an American accent. Save my life.
We know that now.
If you'd asked me to do Alec Guinness, right.
Well, you said you want to do your part as Alec Guinness, so it's being written as that. So you better be working on that accent.
It's done. Alec Guinness accent is legendary.
Come on then. One line from Star Wars.
All right. I've done it before.
I know.
You ready? These are not the droids you're looking for.
Uncanny.
It is. Mm. I don't know.
I shall send you your script because your bit's firstly written. So there we go.
Refuse to record audio for a Christmas panto in July. That's mad.
It has to be done.
Father Christmas is not going to like you. You're not at all. You're ruining the spirit.
He
of Christmas.
Doesn't anyway.
You are ruining children of this country and the world's Christmas by your premature pantomime.
Planning. Yeah, you're premature planning.
I'm often premature. Anyway, so this nonsense will end now, and we'll see you next time. Hope you enjoyed yourself. Stay safe. See ya.
Offer some beaver. Woohoo!